Okay, so Parshas Tazria. Parshas Tazria and Mitzora are known as the...
Is it all Parshas or single?
No, this one is a single. Because okay. It's a leap year, because it's an Hebrew year, so we split up the Parshas. But you know, Rabbonim in general are very afraid of these Parshias because it's not such exciting topics to talk about. But yeah. you find something. So, let's see. The first Pasuk, Adam, or one of the first Pasukim, Adam ki yeh ba'ur b'saro. A person who has in the flesh, in the skin of his flesh, sa'eis, sa'pachas, baheras, these are different types of saras. V'hoya ba'er b'sara l'nega saras, he has this blemish, and saras, leprosy. V'huva el Aaron ha'koyim. He had to be brought to Aaron ha'koyim. Oy el echon mibonav ha'koanim, or to one of his sons, the koanim. And that's a unique thing about saras, that you needed a koyim. There's no way around it. The only one who can make you either impure or pure is only if a Kohen said you're in or you're out. Rashi says, Gzeiras HaKosuv Hi. This is a Gzeiras HaKosuv. We know that typically the word Gzeiras HaKosuv is used for like a chayt. It just says so in the Torah. You know, it's a Gzeiras, a decree from Hashem. She'ein tumas negoim v'taharosan ela al pi Kohen. That the impurity or the purity, purification is only through a Kohen. And this is a very strong halacha. I'll read the next paragraph is the Rambam, straight out of the Rambam, Hilchas Tumas Saras. He writes the following. He says, Hakol k'sheir lira yisas ha-negoyim. He says, if you want to know if this is leprosy or not, so anyone could look at you. Any Talmud Chacham, you go to a Talmud Chacham or Rav, is this a Saras? Now, everyone could look at it, and they could say what they think, but it's not going to have any halachic impact. Afal pi shakol k'sheirin liros negoyim. Even though everyone is kosher to look and see the nega, hatuma vahatahara tluya b'koyin. The tuma, the impurity or purity, is totally dependent on the koyin. Keitza, he says keitza. He says koyin she'inu yedea liros. Let's say you have a koyin who's not a talmud chacham. He doesn't know. He gives a look at it. I don't know if that's leprosy. I have no idea. So what do we do? So the koyin has to bring the chacham. Hachacham re'ehu. The chacham looks at it and the chacham says, you know, this is not good. Va'omer loy. He tells the Kohen, Emor Tomei, say it's Tomei. V'hakon Omer Tomei. And then the Kohen says Tomei, and it becomes Tomei. Emor Tohar, the Chacham tells the Kohen, say it's Tohar. HaKohen Omer Tohar, the Kohen says it's Tohar. Hisgirai, V'humasgirai. The guy says, you know, this guy should, it's not Tomei, you're Tohar. He's got to be locked up for 7 days. And then we'll look at it again. So the Kohen says, do that. Shanemar, as the Pasuk says, V'al pihem yihyeh kol riv v'chol nega. That the Kohen is the only one who can make these decisions, and specifically about Negoim, about these blemishes of Saras. Not just that. What if you only have a child Kohen? There's no one else around. If you have, you know, a little 10-year-old Kohen. Afilu hoya Kohen katan oishoita. He's a fool. You got a Kohen who doesn't know anything. Doesn't matter. Hachacham oimerlei. The Chacham tells the Kohen, v'hu machlit oipoiter oiseiger. Machlit means he says it's tummy, poiter is a sawyer, or he says he's got to be locked up for a week. That is a very unusual halacha. I don't know if we have another halacha like that.
Well, that it's more unusual because you're saying he's a katan.
But even if he's a katan. Even if he's a katan, even if he's not a bardas, it's got to be a Kohen. That's what Rashi said. It's a gzeiras hakosa.
How's a shota? I mean, like...
It says, now, Shota doesn't mean he can't speak, but he's, you know, he's not a bardas. He's not someone that normally you would rely on for anything. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's got to, the Torah said, the Kohen says Tomei, the Kohen says Torah. That's as far as in the beginning of the Nega. And the same thing is at the end. The guy was made impure, and now someone's got a paskin that he's Tohar. So you think, he goes through the procedure, does what he's got to do. Says the Rambam, no. Umitzera shenirpa. The mitzvah that was healed, beimitoch hesger, beimitoch hechlit. These are heskers that he was locked up for a week, and then they decided he's okay, or he was made tamei, and then he's okay. Afilo achar kama shonim. It could be even a couple of years. Harizeh betumaso, he stays impure. Asheyomer lo kohen tahor ata, until a kohen says you are tahor. This is straight halacha in the Rambam, and as we saw, Rashi and Chumash said it's gzeiras hakosuf. And of all the Gzeiras HaKosuv, this has got to be a really interesting one. That somehow the concept of Tuma or Tahara, when it comes specifically to Tzaras, was uniquely given over to the Kohen, right? And I'm not here to toot any horns or anything. But the fact of the matter is that that's what the Torah says. Yes?
If you become clean, and the Kohen says, no, you are not Torah.
No, so the Kohen is not allowed to change the halacha. In other words, I mean, I didn't quote all, the Rama has many halachas. If the Kohen makes a mistake, so it's no good. The Kohen has to follow what the halacha says, but it still needs a Kohen to say it's Tohor, or it needs a Kohen to say it's Tameh.
So if the guy's Tohor, and this guy, Kohen, says he's Tameh.
Well, it doesn't matter, because you need someone to say it's Tohor.
Right, so that state overrides.
If the Kohen doesn't say anything, or if there's no Kohen in town, he stays Tameh,
yeah,
until there's a Kohen who comes and says he's Tohor. A Kohen cannot change the halacha.
Right, but when the Kohen is not doing something halacha, and the Chacham says you're not doing something halacha, you still listen to the Kohen?
Well, the status of this person wouldn't change. So let's say you have a Chacham, and the Chacham says, this guy is really impure.
Okay.
And the Kohen says, okay, I'm not saying anything. So this guy would not become impure. Right. Because you need the Kohen to write out. Like, the Kohen got to sign the dotted line. Until he signs the dotted line, it doesn't work. Now, I'm sorry. If the Chacham says the guy is really pure, and the Kohen says, no, impure, won't work because it's not halachic. So the Kohen would be overridden. Uh-huh. But without the Kohen signing off that he's Tameh, he does not become Tameh. Without the Kohen signing off that he's Torah, he does not become Torah. Okay? Yes.
So it says over here, even after a few years, you know, he's still Tameh.
Yeah.
What happens, you know, you have a certain halacha during the week when you set him apart. When he comes out, he comes back to everybody. But if he's still considered Tameh, even up to a couple of years, what is the interaction allowed to be with the other people?
It's a good question. I don't know the answer. But it would seem, by the basic reading of the Rambam, he's Tameh, whatever the halachas of Tameh are.
Yeah. So, I mean, he wouldn't be able to be, moving freely amongst his own community.
Yeah, that would be the case. I mean, you got to find a Kohen. You got to find him a Kohen. I mean, the Saras doesn't last that long. It lasts 2 weeks. If there's no Kohen in town, you know, bring him the town over. Bring a Kohen, fly a Kohen in, you know. Get a Kohen on Amazon. I don't know, but you need a Kohen. Okay, so that is the halacha, and Rashi says it's Gzeiras HaKosav. Now, the question is, when we have Gzeiras HaKosav, when you have a chok, when you have Hashem said, that's just the way it is. Are we allowed to think of reasons? Is that, or we just say Hashem said, and that's that?
We're allowed. We have it by the chok of Paraduma.
Very well. So I want to read a very beautiful piece of Rambam also. In Hilchas Temura. Temura is in Kachim laws of exchanging of animals of Kodesh, and it's a very powerful and important halacha to know. In chapter 4, halacha 13, he says, "Afal pi shekol chuki haTorah gzeiros hem." All the chukim, all the statutes of the Torah, are decrees. Kimosha bi'arnu b'sof mi'ila, as we said in the end of the laws of mi'ila. Nevertheless, ro'i lihisbonin bahen. It's appropriate for us to be misbonin, to reflect on the chukim of the Torah. V'chol mashata yachol liten lotam, ten lotam. Whatever you can. Rambam, in general, is very into trying to understand. Even though we understand that there's always going to be something above our level of understanding, and we submit to Hashem's will, whether we understand or not, at the same time, as human beings, Rambam says we're expected to try to learn and understand and learn from the mitzvahs of the Torah. Hari Amru Chachamim Harishonim, after all, the early sages said, Shamelach Shlomo, Haven Rov HaTaimim Shal Kol Chukei HaTorah. Shlomo HaMelech actually understood the majority of the reasons of the Torah. There's another medrash that Shlomo HaMelech said, I understood every chok aside from one. Right? He said, the only one I didn't get was Parah Aduma. That one, he said, he writes, Amarti ech kimav hi rechoka mimeni. I tried to understand that one too, but that one, I couldn't plumb the depths of that one. But the idea that I'm saying is, you see, Shlomo HaMelech spent time. He didn't just say, well, Hashem said, that's it. He tried to learn from it. The Rambam says, "V'chol elo hadvarim k'dolakuf es yitzro ulasakin de'osav." Ultimately, all mitzvahs of the Torah are there in order to help us subdue our yitzro hara and to be misakin, to correct our ways of thinking, our approach to life. The rov dinei haTorah, the majority of the laws of the Torah, einan ela eitzos mirachok. They're great, beautiful ideas. Migdola eitzah, from the wisest of all, lesakin hadeos uliyasher kol hamaisim, to correct and be misakin our deos, our ways of thinking, and make us act in appropriate manner. So Rambam gives the general rule that yes, chok. And those, we understand there's points that are beyond our understanding. At the same time, we try to learn lessons and understand as best as we could, even the chukim of the Torah. So, having said that, what's the message?
You're trying to understand what the chok is doing, but you're not trying to understand why it's like, you're not trying to say, well, It's moral, so that's why we're doing.
Right, none of it's moral. Right. I'm sorry?
You're not supposed to do it.
Right, right, and that's true. But nevertheless, there's a message there. There's a message, there's an intent, there's a purpose, there's something there that Hashem is teaching us. And that's what we're trying to plumb and try to understand. So let's look at one message about what's this idea of Tzaras and the Kohen. Why is it the Kohen that's in charge of this whole Tzaras concept? So what does a Kohen represent? Right? What is a Kohen more than anything else? What Midah is a Kohen all about? So all Kohenim come from Aaron. Aaron Kohen Gadol. He's the father of all Kohenim. What does Aaron represent or stand for? Chesed. Kindness, Ahava. What do we say in Pirkei Avos? You have here in the next. Kol Kohenim Tzatzoi Aaron Kohen Gadol. All Kohenim are descendants of Aaron, who's known as Isha Chesed Va'ava, the man of kindness and love, as it says in Pirkei Avos. Naveimi Talmidov Shel Aaron. We should be disciples of Aaron. Ohev Shalom. He loved peace. Ohev Rodev Shalom. He pursued peace. Ohev Sabrius. He loved all people. Umikarvon the Torah, and he tried to bring everyone closer to the Torah. Interesting. When it says he loved all people, what word does he use for people?
Brios,
which means just creations. That's an interesting way to say people. And in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe writes, he says even people that the only good thing you can think about them is that they're creations of Hashem. They have nothing going for them.
So why just humans? Why not animals too? They're creations.
So their creations are well, but I believe he's talking here about people. Aaron's Mikarvel Notora probably wasn't the the cows and the sheep. But it means even people who don't have any other seemingly redeeming qualities, aside from their just brios of Hashem. So Aaron is this great lover of mankind. And really a Kohen is supposed to be an extension to that. In fact, when does a Kohen perform? So in the Beis HaMikdash, but nowadays, where do you see a Kohen performing? By Birchas Kohen.
Right.
By Birchas Kohen. And what bracha does he make? Asher kidishanu b'mitzvot sivanu levarich esamo Yisrael bi'ahava. Right? It's the only bracha that we make that it must be done with love. The Kohen's job is to carry that love of Aaron HaKohen. In fact, what if a Kohen is in a fight with some of the people in the shul?
It happened once when I was in Shul Rosh Yom Kippur.
Did it?
Yeah.
You're not even a Kohen.
I'm just saying, the guy was a known Kohen.
He picked a fight with a Kohen.
He was angry at some people on the shul.
So what happened?
I won't say.
But in Shulchan Aruch it says he's not allowed to duchen in that shul.
Right.
That didn't occur.
It's dangerous to the Kohen.
Exactly. And that's what it says here. I'm going to read the halacha. Shulchan Aruch Harav or Rechaim. It says, Kohen hasone asat sibur. If the Kohen hates people in that sibur, in the congregation, oh, hat sibur sonim also. Where the people there will hate him. Right? Notice, I never came here for duchen. No. So, sakana. So it says, sakana hila kohen im yisa es kapov. It's a sakana.
Why?
It's considered sakana because it's considered doing the opposite of what he's here for. The kohen is levarich es amo Yisrael ba'ahava. Again, it's not just a side thing. It's part of the bracha. Aaron is giving the bracha. Aaron represents Ahava.
Like.
So it's actually a sakana. V'lachein yeitzei mibeis haknesses. He should actually go out of the shul. V'alzeh tiknu. And that's why the takana, the institution, is levarich es amo Yisrael ba'ahava, to bless amo Hashem's nation with love. Where does that come from? That concept. That it's a sakana for the Kohen to bench if there's no Ahava. That comes from the Zohar. The Zohar HaKadosh, brought down in the Magen Avraham, the primary commentary to Shulchan Aruch. Magen Avraham brings us the name of the Zohar, that a Kohen must bench the Kal Yisrael with Ahava. And here we have a beautiful idea, and that's the main message I want to impart here, which is, in order to pronounce a person a Mitzora, that's a very severe impurity. Tzaras is the most severe of all impurities. In what way? The Mitzora has to, as you mentioned earlier, has to leave the community. Now, we know that there's different levels of impurity. There's a Tamei Mace, and there's a Zav, and so on. I'm sorry?
He has to call out.
Right. So, and some have to leave Machanek Kedusha, some Machanek Levia. The Mitzora has got to go out of the encampment. Michutz L'Shalosh Machanos, all the way out. And Badad Yeshev. The mitzvah is a Mitzora sits himself. Even not together with other Mitzorayim, himself. Solitary confinement. Now, we shouldn't know from it, but I know because I've had the opportunity to visit and be in jails with people, and the worst punishment is solitary. No, I wasn't in jail myself, in prison, Baruch Hashem, but unfortunately I was in jails. And the worst thing is solitary confinement, just to be yourself, like with no connection to anyone else. And that is what the Mitzora is put through, Badad Yeshev, to be on his own mamash. Yes.
What's the story in Tanakh when the Metzora goes after the camp and they find the bread?
And there's three Metzoraim together. Unbelievable you thought of that. Yeah. Excellent. That's a great question. There's a whole halacha. He's asking because I just said that a Metzora has to be himself, even not with other Metzoraim. He says in the Haftarah, there's a story that there was three Metzoraim together, and then they came into the encampment, and how does that work? And that is a whole discussion in halachic sfarim, how that happened and why that was okay. And there are opinions that really Metzoraim could be together. Others say that case was different, but that's good that you picked up on that. Oh gosh, I really got to do my homework before I start here. Anyhow, so the point is that to paskin that a mitzora is that a person is tummy with tumas tzaras is an incredible achrayis. It's an incredible responsibility to say this person he's got to be out. Who has the right to rule about someone that he is totally removed from everyone? Only someone who's coming with kindness. And this is the concept of the Kohen. The Kohen represents Levarich es Am Yisrael ba'ava. Sometimes we're called upon to be disciplinarians, and sometimes we have to be sharp, and sometimes we have to be tough, and sometimes we have to kick someone out. But who do you want? Who does Hashem want kicking people out when necessary? The one who's the ultimate of chesed, of kindness. Mm-hmm. Because only then do you know there's no ulterior motives. It's not just because he's in a bad mood. It's not because he's in a fight with a guy. He loves him and loves him honestly, and therefore he's definitely going to do whatever he can to help him. And he's going to be the first one to make sure that he's going to come back and to be matir, to purify him, because he's coming with Ava. In fact, when it comes to bringing the Mitzorah back and making him Tahor, it says the Kohen has to go all the way out of the three machanos, out of the camels, and go visit the Mitzorah in order to pronounce him Tahor. So the Kohen has got to leave the Beis HaMikdash and leave the holy place in order to help that Yid as an expression of his Ava. That's what we have in the beginning of the next parsha. Vayetze HaKohen el mechutz lamachana. The Kohen goes all the way out. Vira HaKohen, and he sees, the Kohen sees, v'nin nirpan negat saras menat serua, that the leprosy was healed. And Rashi says, chutz l'sholosh machanos. The Kohen has to go out of the three machanos. And that is the first message over here. That is, yes, the Torah sometimes it gets harsh. Sometimes there's punishment. Sometimes the harshness is necessary. Was Elisha a Kohen? I'm not remembering that now. I don't know. But in order to be able to say a difficult psak, or to be harsh with a person, it can only come from a place of kindness and real sensitivity to that person. And really, that's the story of tsaras in general. When Hashem gives tsaras, what is that? On the one hand, it's very harsh. Hashem made a person tsaras and he kicked him out. But why is Hashem giving a person tsaras? So really, it's an expression of Hashem's chesed to us. And again, we'll go back to the Rambam. The Rambam says, tzaras is really miraculous. We don't have today tzaras, right? We don't have the whole concept. We don't have tzaras miraculous. The house would become, we get tzaras, and then the garments, and then the skin. Why did all that tzaras happen? Hashem was trying to get a person to correct his behaviors. Right? And that's in the next paragraph.
Naaman tzaras was the same way?
That was different. Different idea. Different for a different reason.
Isn't Lashon Hara, is that the main thing?
Lashon Hara is the main one. So let's read the paragraph in parenthesis from the Rambam. In Tumas Saras, he says, "Zeh hashinui ha'amur bibgodim ubibatim," that the clothing change, right? In Parsha, we have the clothing get leprosy, the houses get leprosy. Shekarasu Torah Saras b'shutfas Hashem, they're all called Saras. Eino miminhago shel olam. The Rambam says very clearly, Saras was not natural. Oisu pela hoy b'Yisrael, it was miraculous, wondrous. And why did Hashem make this miracle? Kedei lashiran milashon hara. Hashem wanted us to be kind and also careful with our words. Shamisaper b'lashon hara, one who would talk lashon hara, what would happen first? Mishtanos kiros beso. The walls of his house would start getting tzaras. Imchazarbo, if the person did shuva, yitar beso. So his home was purified, everything was good. Imam Bad Birisho, if he continued his negative ways, Ashahutatza bias, the house was knocked down. Mishtanin Kleha Urshibibeso, Shoyoshiv Shochin Alein. The garments, the couches, more tzaras. Im Chazarbo, if the person did shuva, Yitaru, they became Tar. Imam Bad Birisho, if the person kept on with Lashon Hara, Ashah Yisrifu, so he had to burn up his couches. Yishtanu Habgodim Shalov, his garments, his clothing started changing. Im Chazarbo, person did tshuva, Yitaru, everything was good. Amad Birisho, if the person stayed within his wickedness, Asher Yisrifu, Mishtane Oro, his skin started changing. Vitzara, he got leprosy. The Yemuvdil, a Mefursim Levado, he'd have to separate himself from everyone. Asher Lo Yisasik, Besichas HaRishayim, till the person learned his lesson to stop talking. The talk, the words of Rishayim, Shalitzanes, Lashon Hara, frivolity, Lashon Hara. Point is, the whole Tzaras is miraculous, and Hashem is doing this in order to get the person back in the right way, that a person should talk properly. So it's not harshness, it's not negativeness, it's not punitive, it's trying to help the person, and Hashem is doing miracles in order to help a person come back. So that's the way we have to look at punishments in the Torah. It's not harshness, and it's not badness, and it's not punishment. It's Hashem trying to help us and sending us messages, all types of messages, even miraculous ones, to get us back to talk properly and act properly the way that He expects of us. Okay? So that's lesson number one. That, we have to have a couple minutes. Yeah, a few more minutes. Lesson number one is this idea. In order to do something harsh, to be the one that should have to give a strong discipline, it has to be a man, a person of kindness. It has to come from love. Discipline not coming from love is not worth it. Discipline coming from love is then it's going to be a proper and appropriate and done with the right way and with compassion. Right? Like the Tzaras is, by the way, I'll just mention, it's not on the paper, but there's a number of compassionate laws in Tzaras. For example, if the Kohen would come into the house and he was that there was a Tzaras there, what do the Pasuk say you do? The Kohen does? He says, go out of the house, take out all the furniture, and then pronounce it. Because why hurt the guy's furniture, right? Or what if Chassan gets married, and by the Chasna they notice some Tzaras? So he called the Kohen, what does the Kohen say? Call me back after Sheva Brachas.
See you later.
So I'll see you. I'm not coming. I don't care what's on his hand. In other words, even in this harshest of punishments, there's a tremendous amount of compassion. And that's the concept here. Punitive measures, harshness, discipline, all must come from compassion.
It's also very interesting that he can change it. The Kohen can change it, in a sense, can hold change and see us in the actual Messiah. The guy that Chosin you talk about is a Tomei. He's right. But he can hold it off.
Correct.
So
correct.
You did not see so many sorrows.
There isn't. There isn't so many.
I mean, that time when he was, because everybody, we know I'm wrong, so I should...
That's correct. That is correct. That was correct. It was meant to keep people from not doing wrong. That's what discipline is for. So we don't know that Tzaras was very prevalent. We don't know that at all. We know that it existed, but not how prevalent it was. I want to show you one more beautiful place where that same idea expresses itself, which goes with the brachas of Shemona Esrei. How many brachas are there in Shemona Esrei?
19.
Well, that's a famous quick question, because Shemona Esrei means 18, and yet, of course, there's 19. Why? So, the 18 were written by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the men of the Great Assembly. Hundreds of years later, a 19th was added. Right? It was Rabban Gamliel, who's at... The man of the Great Assembly built the first Beis HaMikdash. 400 years later, we have Rabban Gamliel, and he has the 19th bracha written. Which bracha? V'lamashinim, because of the early heretics and informers and whatever, that were terror, as the Rambam says, they were a tzara gedola, tremendous tzara for the Jewish people, and he had a bracha written, which is asking Hashem to get rid of them, basically. But who did he commission to write that bracha? Who penned V'lam al Shimon? So the Gemara says, Mesach de Brachas Dav Choches, Tanu Rabban, Shimon HaPikuli, Hisdir Shmona Esrei Brachas Lefreir Ben Gamliel Al HaSeder B'Yavne. Shimon HaPikuli put the 18 in order. It wasn't news then, but he put them in order. Amar Lahem Rabban Gamliel L'Chachomim, Rabban Gamliel says to the sages, Klum Yesh Adam Shigodea L'Sakin Birchas Haminim. Anybody here who knows how to write the bracha for the heretics? Amad Shmuel HaKaton Vitikna. There was a sage called Shmuel HaKaton. He's called the small Shmuel. Not because he was short, but because to differentiate from Shmuel the prophet. And Shmuel HaKaton, he wrote V'lam al Shinim. But why him? What was it about Shmuel HaKaton that he could write that blessing, which is sort of a curse for the heretics? I mean, it wasn't because he knew Hebrew. I mean, everyone knew Hebrew. Why did it take Shmuel HaKaton? So there's a fascinating idea, which is in Pirkei Avos, we read a teaching of Shmuel HaKaton. Right? We know Pirkei Avos is full of, you know, Hu Hayo Omer, Hu Hayo Omer, what each sage would say, what he would stand for. What's Shmuel HaKaton's teaching in Pirkei Avos? So we have it here, Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yotes, Chapter 4, Mishnah 19. Shmuel HaKaton Omer, Shmuel HaKaton said, Binfal Oyevcha Al Tismach. When your enemy falls, do not rejoice. Ubekashlo, when he stumbles, Al Yagel Libcha. Let your heart not be happy. Penura Hashem v'rabe inav, lest Hashem will see and will be bad in his eyes, v'heishemil avapo, and he'll avert his anger from your enemy and bring it back unto you. Now, there's an interesting question. That statement of Shmuel HaKatan is actually a pasuk. It's a verse in Mishlei. So what does it mean Shmuel HaKatan said? It's like, oh, I said, Bereishis Bara Elokim. What does that mean? Shmuel HaKatan said a verse. The verse is written hundreds and hundreds of years before Shmuel HaKatan. So what does it mean? So the Mefarshim say, there's the Medrash Shmuel on Pirkei Avos, he says, it means Shmuel HaKatan lived that verse. It's not just he just taught it once. He personified it. He personified that concept. And what's the concept? That he never felt, there was never a personal vendetta. That's what he's saying. Your enemy falls, don't be happy. Don't get, Baruch Hashem, my enemy fell. There was no personal vendetta. He was looking for the right thing. Such a person could write the bracha of Olam HaShinim. Someone, when there's no personal vendetta, when there's no meanness or anger or personal,
But it's weakened down,
But it's truer. Then it's true. When it's personal, then it's me against them. I want them to fall because I don't like these guys. They hurt me. They hurt my this. I'm getting them back. It doesn't have the purity of a bracha. A bracha has to be l'shem shamayim. So that's the same idea that we're learning over here.
It has to be the love within the...
That's the same thing we're learning over here. If you're going to say something negative about someone, if you're going to say he's a tzeruah, he has tzeras, it's got to come out of a place of kindness and goodness and compassion. Mm-hmm. Then you have the right to be a disciplinarian. If you're compassionate and you love that person, you can discipline them. But if you don't like them, and if you have a personal vendetta, you shouldn't be disciplining them. That's why it's the Kohen who could do the Tzaras, and it's Shmuel HaKatan who could write that bracha, that harsh bracha of Olam HaShinim. I'll finish with a very powerful, beautiful story that really can be talked about at length, but a beautiful concept. When the previous Rebbe of Chabad, his name was Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, passed away in 1950. So after he passed away, so he had the Shiva. And Chabad, the custom is we don't say eulogies. That's the minute of Chabad, there's no eulogy, no espadim. So after he passed away, so his son-in-law that became his successor, the Rebbe, so the Rebbe said, we don't tell eulogies, but I want to tell some stories. Just stories to tell you about my father-in-law, about the Rebbe. He says, one story is the following. He said he was once visited by a group of people, and they said, Rebbe, we have a complaint against you. And that is that in the end of Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat, fourth section of Shulchan Aruch, it talks about certain people that are total heretics. And it says those people, if you can let them die. Don't be makar of them in any way. And you, we notice you're makar of even such people. So that was their taina. How could you be makar of people that the Shulchan Aruch says, leave them? So the Rebbe looked at them and he says, that's a good question. Where does it say this on Shulchan Aruch? It says right there at the end of Choshen Mishpat. He says, He says, there's four sections of Shulchan Aruch until there. When you finish doing everything there, come back to me about the last line, and we'll deal with that as well. He says, suddenly you're machmir when it comes to being harsh against Yidden. Leave me alone. Come back to me when everything else is straight. Then we'll deal with it. That's the ma'aseh he said then.